Welcome to Pushing Buttons.
Good luck.
Hey, and welcome back to the podcast, everyone. It's been a couple weeks off, and we're back here, one more show with our hopes for E3. I am Mike.
Yeah.
I got Gerald with me. We're Pushing Buttons. Let's talk about some games.
Oh, yeah, E3 is upon us. It's actually tomorrow.
I know. I can't believe how close it is. It just feels amazing that it's like right around the corner. I felt like this year passed a lot faster as we got closer to it.
So quickly. But, you know, with the internet being the way it is these days, it's kind of like E3. Yeah, it does matter, but
it doesn't have as much significance
punch
as it used to.
Yeah.
Because I mean, now all these companies have their individual game announcements. They don't even go through E3, and E3 is really just used for press to get access to playing them. Not even so much to announce them anymore. You get a couple of big announcements
here and there. Just the other day on YouTube, I saw someone had uploaded the Destiny gameplay footage from a PS4 alpha test. So, like, secrets are very hard to keep nowadays. And E3, you know, they try very hard, you know, to not explain what they're working on, but half the time, you pretty much already know going in.
Well, plus, I mean, by this point, people are like, already well aware. Like, anytime someone does like files a patent or a trademark for any one of these new games, people are aware right away. And so it's really no secret. But I mean,
there's a lot of things we're not going to see.
Yeah, apparently we're not going to see. What did I think it was? Yeah, Square said that we're not going to see any Final Fantasy 15.
No Kingdom Hearts nor Final Fantasy footage, yeah.
I almost find that hard to believe, at least for Final Fantasy.
Well, I guess they're citing that they're going to release it later on in the year, and they don't quite have everything ready yet that they want to show off.
I mean, I'll be surprised if there's not at least like a trailer somewhere.
Well, they showed a trailer last time to announce it. You know, they showed like a brief. Who knows if that was all in-game or not.
The re-announcing of Versus 13.
Yeah, getting a name change, being the next numerical Final Fantasy in the series.
I do wonder if they're going to be changing any of the story, because I know this is supposed to have like thematically similar to similar to 14, right? I mean to 13.
Yeah. Well, 13. Final Fantasy needs a winner. Needs like a. An RPG that's going to reunite Square Enix with its fans, because the 13 series, love it or hate it, was not well received. Final Fantasy 14, when it first came out, was a mess. When it got reborn recently and released again, it was a little better, but still, with all the MMO market as flooded as it is, it really didn't make an impact.
Oh no. I think it was one of the main executives over at Square said, "If we have another Final Fantasy 14, we're finished."
Yeah, it was rough, and they had to re-release the game, which was a lot of improvements on the re-release on the Realm Reborn. But still, like I said, the MMO market is just flooded. There's so many choices out there, and you charge a subscription fee on top of it, guarantees more people will not see your game.
Well, at least for MMOs, I mean, some of the bigger names have already proven that free-to-play does work.
Yeah, free-to-play does occasionally work. I mean, some struggle with it, like, I don't know if you've heard, but Defiance went free-to-play on PC, which it used to be, like, pay $60 to buy the game, and then it's free after that.
Yeah, yeah.
But now they're just giving it away because they want more of a subscriber base.
Yeah, I think that's kind of smart.
Yeah, I mean, MMOs thrive on community, and if you don't have that, sooner or later, people are just going to get bored and leave.
Yeah, they're not going to want to play at all.
That's what happens. There's always so much stuff you can do, you know, soloing that you get bored of.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, anyway, we were way off track here. So did you hear about Nintendo?
Yeah, Iwata's not going to be there.
He's got the AIDS. I mean, he's sick.
Wow, let's not try to offend anyone here. Besides Iwata.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, I could
he's not positive.
Yeah, he's not a very positive person.
Yeah, not at all.
Not
in that tropical freeze. Killed him.
Yeah, he got smashed.
Yeah. Well, honestly, he doesn't really need to be there. Doesn't he have Reg-O-Matic?
Yeah, Feezer, what's it?
Feezamec, yeah.
Reggie Feezamec. Oh my god, if you haven't seen that video, it's absolutely hilarious. I'm going to put a link into it. It was made for by... Who was
Mega
it?
64.
Mega 64. Of they were partnering with Nintendo to make a video about the announcements for Nintendo's E3. And they decided to infiltrate Nintendo by making Reggie Feezamec, the automated Reggie system. And it is absolutely hilarious. Just not necessarily from a marketing thing. Just it was ridiculous. Especially when the inevitable Reggie meets Reggie happens. I'm going to put a link in there. I mean, since this is going to be, obviously, we're going to be having a lot of talk about E3 here, what we feel our predictions are going to be. There's not probably going to be many links for the show notes because we're not going to be talking so much about the actual news stories, but more about possible ones. But we'll make sure that's one of the things we put in the show notes.
I mean, there are a few games that I pretty much know are going to be there, like Destiny from Bungie. More than likely, we'll have a showcase. Oddly enough, probably on PlayStation, because it is the lead platform for Destiny, which is kind of weird.
I mean, I could see Final Fantasy not showing off something for 15, but maybe showing off a new expansion for 14.
Square Enix might show off the Kingdom Hearts 2.5 remix they have coming out in December. They might show that.
I think they definitely will. They need to have... I mean, they're not going to be having Final Fantasy there, 15. They're not going to be having Kingdom Hearts 3. They need to have something to show off.
I'm crossing my fingers that Boone brings Mortal Kombat 10 with him, or at least more than that crappy CGI trailer that's been circulating.
I don't know. They're saying that I keep hearing that's going to be actual part of gameplay, like for that design. I mean, so we'll see. I think if that's part of the design, it seems like they're borrowing heavily from what was that Tobias, that game he made where you actually like zoom in on people getting their bones.
Tao Feng?
Yeah. It seemed like it had a little bit of that in
Tao
there.
Feng.
Yeah, it seemed like it had a little bit of Tao Feng in it.
Well, we'll see. I mean, the only thing that's really been confirmed is the fact that the story this time around will basically celebrate Sub-Zero and Scorpion's existence and their overall hatred for each other.
Because that's never been covered before in any of the games.
Well, never exclusively. I mean, they've always kind of shoehorned it in there, but it's never been the main focus of the entire series.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, by this point, it's been covered a bunch of times, even not the main focus, but enough that people know the backstory and that Sub-Zero, like, didn't actually kill him or something. Or his family. Uh-huh. I mean, the whole story has been figured out.
And that's what I love about MK9. They tried to take all the pieces and put them together in a cohesive story for once.
Yeah.
Which they didn't have before. It was always all over the place. They just made
exactly.
It up as they went along.
But, no, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I am kind of curious to see... I mean, since, was it 10, 9 was kind of like ended the old series, and this is going to be a kind of like a reboot almost in a way, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you're guaranteed also, besides maybe 10, you're also guaranteed to see the Phantom Pain on E3.
Yep, that's definitely going to be there. They'd be really dumb not to show that off. I mean, people are waiting for that. Because, what was it, Ground Zero was just really not enough.
No, it wasn't. It was not nearly enough. And from what Kojima's saying, it's the biggest Metal Gear, easily the biggest Metal Gear by far. He's done.
Yeah, I don't doubt that from what I'm hearing. Now, is this going to be an open world one as well, like Ground Zeroes was?
I'm not sure. I mean, like, he's kept a lot of it very close.
Yeah,
I think it might be, but I couldn't say.
I mean, I haven't played anything past the third one, to be honest with you.
Honestly, I'm not the Metal Gear guy.
No,
I'm just not.
I am the Metal Gear guy only up to the third one, which I gotta admit, the third one was definitely my favorite one, but, I mean, outside of that, I just don't know enough.
The original for PS1 was honestly my diehard favorite, and I don't think I've ever moved on from that.
No, and I felt on its own, that kind of had like a solid story that had a definite beginning and end that gave you a hint that there might be something bigger going on, but didn't necessarily like scream, we're definitely going to have a sequel.
I just loved all the interaction with the player, like the whole Psychomantis thing, the seeing Meryl's codec number on the back of the CD case that it came with.
Oh, I thought that was really cool.
All the kind of stuff like that surrounded Metal Gear Solid on PS1 was all a good thing, I think. You know, that you don't get that interactivity very much.
And for a game that likes to take itself seriously at certain points, there was definitely a lot of fourth wall breaking like that.
And I absolutely love that.
It was fourth wall breaking done in a smart way.
Yeah, it kind of rewarded you.
Definitely. Or how, like, certain people that you wouldn't even have found their codex for unless you weren't randomly searching around. Like, certain characters, they didn't even tell you they had a codex.
Yeah,
And there was that Russian nuclear scientist that I only found by accident that I'm sure a lot of other people did, too.
Yep. And, of course, you know, Psychomantis, by plugging your controller in the second port, he couldn't read your thoughts.
Yeah, because you weren't player one anymore in a one-player game.
Exactly.
And that was
really a cool idea. That was awesome.
Oh, and I love the Twin Snakes remake, because it had like the updated graphics. You got to see what Psycho Man just really looked like, how messed up he really was.
Yeah, I mean, its only flaw was the first person mode kind of made things a little easier than they should have been.
It was also one big John Woo movie.
Yeah. Made by the probably now defunct Silicon Knights, if they're not already, you know.
Oh yeah, they are. I'm pretty sure they are. I think his that latest game he wanted to work on didn't get funded.
No, it didn't.
Which was really bad, which was really too bad, because, I mean, it was one of those spiritual sequel kind of things to Eternal Darkness that was pretty awesome on its own.
Oh, that reminds me. On a side note, Seventh Guest yet again failed.
Really?
Yeah, they were trying to fund just the first level of the mansion, as they called it.
Oh, my God.
I think it was only for $65,000, and they didn't even get close. It was pretty disgraceful.
Oh man, that's really disappointing.
Since I'm a backer, I always get all the information on it, and they basically Rob Landros, the guy who does Seventh Guest, he's going to go to a major publisher and try to get it done, which means there'll be no extras or goodies or anything, and who knows if the vision he had for the game will actually still be intact, but
I'm also
he
afraid,
has no choice.
I'm also afraid that it's not going to happen that way either, because, I mean, let's face it, he's had done through crowd support to try to get this done, and the crowd has not supported him. And so, I mean, I imagine to a major publisher that just says, you can't even keep your fan base buying into this. Why are we going to support? Why are we going to make it?
He's also, from what I understand, working on a revamped version of the Seventh Guest in 11th Hour. Like a more updated HD version.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think it's ever gonna come out, because, I mean, he's shown, unfortunately, to these publishers that he does not have an install base ready to go.
Or yeah,
not a big enough one.
I mean, I really couldn't believe how much he struggled with
it. I just don't think there's enough fans of that genre anymore. Which is really too bad, because, I mean, it has some of the best storytelling and also some of the most over-the-top ridiculous storytelling out there.
It was one of my favorite games on CD-ROM back in the early 90s, and it was, even at that point, it was a bitch to run.
Yeah, well, it had some unfortunate requirements for the kind of game it was.
But it really pushed the medium of full-motion video not being crap.
Yeah, it was one of the few to like really want to tell a story, an actual good story, and actually and having like really like actually like good gameplay too.
Yeah, that was the only problem with that early day. It's like for every seventh guest, you got 20 of like Corpse Killer, Double Switch, Sewer Shark, you know, all these crap games.
Yeah, but those had their own comedic value on their own. Sewer Shark,
they
especially.
Did. Oh, God. I think I still have that somewhere.
I unfortunately do, too, and it's... Even still today, it's not the prettiest thing. I mean, it was awful looking back then, but even, like, graphically-wise now, it doesn't even, like, hold its own as a kind of comedy, funny game.
Oh, yeah, I mean, no one has time for that now. I mean...
No, I mean...
Better off watching a YouTube video of somebody else going through it as opposed to yourself.
Yeah, because we're now in the age of people playing games like that and raging over them. Although, in terms of a game like that, it's kind of warranted.
Yeah, but back in the pre-internet, what else did we do? I mean, there were no reviews. You had to buy a magazine. Half the time, the magazines would say something good about it, even though it wasn't.
Oh yeah, half the time the magazines were being paid to give those subscriptions. I still think websites are getting paid to give those reviews. Sometimes.
True. Yeah.
I think that's why it's only independent people like me and you might be the good trustworthy ones. You know, we're not getting paid. God, hey. I wish we were. I will happily get paid for a good review.
So, what do you think, Mike? Do you think we'll see The Last Guardian next week?
Oh, God, I know. It's already been rumored again to have been canceled.
Yeah, IGN started that.
Yeah, I didn't see the actual news story, but I did see the headline. Actually, let me check. I can actually pull that up right now. Let's see here.
Yeah, IGN had stated it was canceled. Sony had stated it was not canceled. So.
Yeah, in one of the most recent updates, it says the further information this morning reveals that Sony Russia, the source responsible for the original news, told journalists that The Last Guardian won't be released on any platform. And the news has been reported on multiple news outlets within Russia. Let's see here. So there's no confirmation or denial about it.
It's just in limbo, like it has been for many years now.
Yeah, which I'm kind of surprised about. I mean, all of the Team Eco games are pretty well loved. I mean, you know, all two of them.
Well, didn't they lose, like, a lot of members of their team?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they did.
And that always slows production because it takes twice as long for something to get
the guy in charge of the project, I think, left, like, a couple of, like, the head developers and producers. And I don't have all the details in front of me here, but, yeah, I mean, like I said, IGN has that story, and we'll link over to it, as usual. But that's really disappointing. I thought, based on all the other games they've ever made, this one had a lot of potential again. I mean, most of the games that Team Eco makes has that. I'm really kind of upset. I loved Eco and Shadow of the Colossus. They were two of the few games that really pushed that video games as art kind of idea. Especially almost like a watercolor kind of art style.
I really can't say I cared for either of them. I mean, just being honest.
Well, I mean, they were very... I mean, they were more puzzle games than anything, and they were, in their own ways, very brutal in difficulty. And, like, they both gave you no direction anytime, ever. You were left to really figure things out on your own. So it was not a game that you can kind of just, like, take your... It's the kind of game you really take your time with, and it's... If you're looking, regardless of the fact you have a sword, if it's kind of one where you're looking for, like, fast-paced action, you're not going to get it with those games.
Nope.
I mean, the game was a straight-up puzzler.
Yeah, it was... I mean, it was designed around really simple mechanics, but it all worked.
Oh, definitely.
It's just not my thing, unfortunately.
I mean, not every game's going to be everyone's style, so. Yeah, there's games between the two of us that I love, you hate that I love.
I imagine we're going to see Battlefront 3 this time around.
Oh, yeah, I'm hoping we do. The only one I honestly ever played was the PSP one, and I loved that game.
Oh, wow. To me, that's the worst one.
Really?
Well, I mean, yeah, the other two are significantly better.
To be honest, like I said, I don't have experience with the other ones.
Let's just say you're gonna love them.
I mean, I do want to. I hope to someday. You know, when I eventually get some of these other systems.
Yeah, more than likely by that time, the new one will be out. So just wait.
Yeah, that's what I probably should do. What systems is it coming out for again?
I know definitely it's on next gen. I don't know if it's going to be also 360 PS3.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt it. With EA, I really doubt it.
No, they tend to drop support for older systems pretty quickly outside of football.
Yeah, well, they kind of need to. I mean, I understand the first year of a new system to keep bringing out games for the older systems, but then after that, they should completely drop it, I think.
Yeah, I'd say the only thing they put out for those newer systems, for those older systems, that eventually is just the Madden games. Because, I mean, let's face it, those print money.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they have a loyal following that always buys them. It's like the Call of Duty, you know, online daycare, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's the same deal, you know. They always know that there people are going to buy it who just want basically more maps, or for this instance, a player roster update.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you may think I'm generalizing, but honestly, I've played every single Call of Duty, and there's not a lot of difference anymore.
No, I mean, they're one of those like we add incremental differences. Like if you play like the third one against the first one, I mean, against like against the most recent one, yeah. I mean, not even in terms of graphics, you're going to see a huge difference, but if you go from the third to the fourth to the fifth to the sixth, then you're not really going to notice much of a difference. They're definitely an incremental improvements kind of series.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you could say that, you know, Call of Duty 4 revolutionized the entire genre. But then after that, there's not too many differences in each one that came.
No. They tried to move to more of a story kind of based thing with Black Ops, but it kind of failed.
Yeah, the campaigns have gotten, honestly, worse. I'm not sure why they do them.
to say they can have some form of single player.
Yeah, and even the... I mean, I'm just going to say how I feel here. Even the zombie mode that they've added in the Black Ops series is kind of lackluster and just seems like a shoddy afterthought.
Yeah, agreed. And, I mean, the only one I ever really played was the one in Black Ops, and that was more comical because you played as, like, Kennedy and Nixon.
Yeah, and it's always fun when you try to shoot them in the head and the bullet somehow goes beyond that, even though you're directly at them. Yeah, like, there's tons of weird glitches like that that just don't make any sense.
Oh, man, yeah.
But, you know, I don't want to talk about Call of Duty. I'm sure there'll be another one debuting at E3.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. One that I'd like to see, I mean, I would love to see more information on Beyond Good and Evil 2.
You know what I'd love to see? This is going to sound like a joke, but I would love to see a new JRPG.
I don't think that's going to happen unless it's from Mistwalker.
Of course not.
Unless it's from Mistwalker, it's not happening, let's face it.
Yeah, Mistwalker was one of my favorites last cycle. I mean,
they
put out The Lost Odyssey and Blue Dragon, which are fucking phenomenal.
Oh, Blue Dragon is one of my favorites from this past generation. It's really, really slow to start out with, but it has one, and what I think is one of the better stories, better gameplay mechanics with the Blue Dragons, because the way it works is one of the rare games where the character you're playing has quite literally no power whatsoever. He's weak as hell. But they call on the dragon to do all the fighting for them, and the dragon is the powerful one. So your character is really just there to give commands to the dragon.
On top of that, there's a deep level of customization, because you can actually have the dragon learn things.
Mm-hmm.
Learn what you want him to learn, necessarily, not just what he's going to level up with.
The art style has a very kind of weird look to it. It's almost like...
Dragon Ball Z?
Yes, but, like, I mean, like, the actual, in terms of, like, the graphics themselves, it's almost like a... it looks like, quality-wise, something you'd see out of, like, a Pixar movie. Like the,
Oh, yeah, very, very true.
It has a very distinct, like, art style to it for having that Dragon Ball Z look. I mean, the character design is very Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, no, you can't go wrong with Mistwalker. Too bad they only made a handful of games.
Yeah, what was it? Yeah, Blue Dragon, Last Story, oh, God, why can't I think of it? Lost Odyssey. And was there anything else, or was it those three only?
I think it was those three. I may be missing something
on
the DS.
No, I think they, I think they put something on the DS that I cannot think of the name of. It's another RPG,
I know they
though.
Put a Blue Dragon on DS.
Yeah, there was the Blue Dragon on the DS. Let me see, I kind of want to... Let me see here, what was that? Let me look this up quickly. I want to know what that was. It was a very kind of like, if I remember correctly, it was a very quirky game.
Yeah.
Let's see. What was the name of that? Come on here. Oh, there was the game was called Away Shuffle Dungeon, which I actually do have and kind of like it. And there was also... Let me see here. What else? Oh, that's really it. There was a couple things that were on the, here it is. This one was co-developed. It was with a game called Ash, Archaic Sealed Heat, that only came out on the DS in Japan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was something I was kind of looking forward to, because graphically-wise, it was one of, like, the most intense ones that was ever put on the DS, but, it just never came out over here.
Yeah, and, I mean, Mistwalker did a lot, honestly, to keep JRPGs alive, I think. Lost Odyssey, for instance, plays more like a traditional Final Fantasy game, when, unfortunately, last cycle, there were no traditional Final Fantasy games coming out.
Yeah, I mean, this thing could have very easily been one of the next Final Fantasies.
And it had that Judgment Ring system, kind of like Shadow Hearts, but not quite.
Yep, yep. Where you get to kind of time your attacks, button presses correctly. Very much in the same vein that, like you said, Shadow Hearts. But also, believe it or not, the Mario RPG series did something similar like that. Where if you press the button at the right time, you can do extra damage.
And it was quite a few discs. I mean, it wasn't just like one DVD. It was like four or five, if I remember right.
I have the fourth disc is actually in my Xbox as we speak, and it is four discs long.
And
so it definitely
get to learn.
It was definitely a long game.
Yep, it was definitely an endurance battle to get to the end.
God, it was so worth it though.
Oh yeah, definitely.
It had one of the better stories of that generation.
I mean, are we going to see Zelda? Is one of the biggest questions I've been pondering.
It's definitely in development. I don't think we're going to see it.
It may be too soon to drop a bomb selling Zelda.
I think Nintendo's going to put most of their efforts into Mario Kart and Smash Brothers. Even though Mario Kart is already out, I think that's going to be where a lot of their focus is, to really push it even more.
I mean, as far as I know...
Aren't they only doing, like, aren't they doing the same thing they did last year with, like, the digital thing only?
I
mean, I know they have, like, the Mario Kart tournament they're doing, but I don't remember them if they're doing like the I don't think they're doing like the big E3 thing this year again, right?
I don't think so either. I mean, they don't really have to show Smash Brothers 5 seconds. You know what it is. You know. It's not like they're gonna drastically change the formula.
No, I think they're at the very least, if not the Wii U, they're gonna have the 3DS version available to play. Because I mean, that's coming out very soon. That's coming out this summer.
Yeah, from what I've heard of Zelda, they're not going for a realistic look on this take. From what I understand, it's gonna look like, I mean, well, unlike any Zelda that has come out
So
as
is
far as the art direction is concerned.
so they're gonna they're you said like they're going to for a completely different look than they've ever had.
Yeah, but usually when Nintendo says that, it works out, so.
Yeah, so far, I mean, they've not never had a Zelda that looked bad. Now, even the ones that didn't like even the ones where that didn't play very well, like at least in like in our opinion, neither one of us were really big fans of Skyward Sword. There's no denying the art direction that was phenomenal.
Yeah, I think the control scheme is what really, painted them into a corner trying to make it work.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I
And
think I can see them after playing the Wind Waker one. I mean, I can definitely see them doing some interesting things with it, because there was with the Wind Waker, there was if you wanted to real time inventory management while you were still playing, and I think that could work well with Zelda. I mean, it definitely did for the 3DS, for the not the 3DS, for the Wind Waker HD. I think that gave you some idea of what could be done with the system. Also, like they actually added a mode into the Wind Waker HD that let you, as long as you were doing a like the boomerang or the arrow, it let you walk around in first person, which I
wow.
thought which was worked surprisingly well. Using the gyroscope within the gamepad controller worked. I couldn't like I can't believe I'm actually like saying this. It worked very well, like controlling your bow and arrow. It was surprisingly accurate, and so I could see them working that some like that stuff into the next Zelda, like making that some of like the core mechanics. Using that like gyroscope and not like necessarily like overly gimmicky ways that kind of take away from the experience.
It's possible. I mean, Nintendo, maybe they won't bring out Zelda, but they definitely might hint towards it on the next, maybe next year, but I'm sure
Yeah.
they are hard at work.
Oh, I there's no way that they're not.
Especially since they had the recent success with the Zelda on 3DS.
Oh yeah, between the Zelda on the 3DS, then that was a huge success. And I mean, I don't know how much of a success, but I do believe that Wind Waker HD did pretty well too. I mean, let's face it, I mean, not necessarily when it first came out, but now Wind Waker is one of the more loved games in the series for its personality. And so seeing that in HD, I think that sold a fair amount of systems.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people had trouble with the art direction, but once you get past that and you realize that it's just like Zelda, it's puzzle solving, it's dungeons, it's items, it's just exactly like you've done before.
Well, it also had one of the most in-depth stories that a Zelda game's ever had, and plus the cartoon style also gave Link, Ganon, and Zelda more personality in their facial expressions than they've ever had.
Well, with that art style, it is relatively easy to make them
Expressive.
more expressive. Yeah.
And it definitely worked out well. I mean, Link had, like I said, more personality. His expressions, like sometimes, like when walking by something that was of interest, you could see his like eyes look away. You could see his eyeballs like move over and look at them, because they were like very big anime style like head and eyes. So it was much easier for you could see when he was excited. You could see when he was sad, angry.
Or when something important was in the room. A lot of old graphic adventures used to use that style where the eyes would block or the head would turn to a certain part of the room.
Exactly, and that's exactly what he did in this for this new art style. So it really worked very well. You know, as much as I actually like the graphics, like the not necessarily the graphics, but the art style of
What,
Twilight Princess.
Twilight?
Yeah, as much as I liked how it looked, I like the more cartoony Zeldas.
Well, yeah.
I feel they had more personality.
Well, after Wind Waker, a lot of people cried for a more realistic Zelda, and Twilight Princess was the next logical step, although, you know, I guess more realism to Nintendo means being a werewolf.
Although, I mean, the werewolf itself didn't do much to take away from the gameplay, because even then it still felt like Zelda, but
It was cool.
I didn't feel like I was playing Zelda. I felt like I was playing, as a lot of people pointed out, Lord of the Rings.
Well, yeah, and the overworld, you know, for that game, just, yeah. You know.
It was one of the biggest overworlds I've ever had, but there was nothing to do in it.
But yeah, I was getting to that. It was kind of stagnant as opposed to what you would expect from a Zelda
Exactly.
game.
So yeah, because of that, it was at times kind of boring to ride around. I mean, it looked great doing it, and I mean, it always felt like I was playing a Zelda game, but it looked like I was playing Lord of the Rings.
By far the worst thing I think Twilight Princess did that I really didn't like, and it was the training in the beginning. It was like
Yeah,
a
that's.
prison. They wouldn't let you go for like an hour.
And some objectives they were giving you were very obtuse of what they wanted you to do, and it took forever to figure out.
Yeah, it was, you know, my least favorite, you know, game I like to revisit in the Zelda series.
It also forced you to stay as the wolf for way too long.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I hate to say it, but I'd rather go back to Wind Waker.
Oh, I'll go back to Wind Waker any day. It took the place of Majora's Mask as my favorite Zelda game.
I like the fact they flooded Hyrule in Wind Waker. And
Oh yeah,
it was
I
all
mean,
about treasure hunting.
despite its cheery looking personality, it was one of the more depressing Zelda games as far as story and what was going on.
Oh yeah. I mean, if you really read into it, it
Yeah.
was a very depressing story. I mean, this was considered the end, not the beginning.
Especially when you finally meet Ganon, like face to face at the in the final conflict, and he tells you why he did what he did, and his story is very depressing.
Yeah, it has a lot of great moments, I think, that were ignored by people who couldn't get past the art style.
Right, and yeah, if you did that, you saw one of next to Majora's Mask, one of the darkest stories that they've ever had. Like you after like the main story, like going through, you realize they flooded Hyrule because they were so desperate to get rid of Ganon.
Yeah, they
And
had literally exhausted all options.
yeah, and they and you like they really drive home to the point in more so emotional ways of realizing how desperate they were because no one showed up to help save them. And they really drive that desperation home.
Well, yeah, I mean, when the sages have to push the button on the world and flood it, I'm sure it's not necessarily, you know, a comedy.
Exactly. And yeah, it was very in a very big contrast to what the graphics were like.
Well, yeah, I mean, I admit, even at first, I didn't pick it up because I thought that Link was getting to be too cartoony, but I ended up buying it at some point, and I realized, wow, the puzzles on this still remind me of Zelda, the combat Zelda, the dungeons of Zelda. This really is Zelda, period, you know?
Yeah.
And the storyline isn't bad, so
No, it.
why all the
Yeah,
hate?
like I said, yeah, exactly. Like I said, it was the first one to really put more focus on story in a Zelda game, and it was definitely the better for it.
I remember EGM did an April Fool's joke around that time where they showed a picture of Wind Waker with more realistic graphics,
Oh, God.
and they claimed it was a pre-order bonus. Of
Oh,
course, it was an
God.
April Fool's joke that they're
Yeah.
notorious for doing, but wow, did it jerk a lot of people's chains
I think
just to
actually
see
Wind
that.
Waker would have been worse with more realistic graphics because of like
Me
what they were
too.
trying to do.
I also think that, you know, on a technical aspect, it's a little easier if you have everything, you know, drawn out in that style as opposed to trying to do realistic graphics.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely.
I think they could do more things with that art style, more, you know, technical things than they could with their realistic.
Oh, absolutely. Which is why the two DS Zelda games both had those graphics. It let them have a lot more to do with the world, because they were based on cartoons.
Yeah, like you said, with the facial expressions, that's one thing right there. They can pull those off really easy. It looks cool. You understand what's going on. You can kind of, sort of see into Link's thoughts sometimes.
Exactly. You knew exactly how he was feeling at all times.
Whereas it would probably be a lot harder to pull it off with a more realistic Twilight Princess look.
Exactly.
Wow, we went crazy on Zelda here.
Well, I mean, you and I both have obviously varying opinions on some of the series, but it's also something we're both very well versed in and a huge part of our gaming life.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, it's all love for the Zelda series.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, bitch on occasion about it.
I mean, rightfully so, though.
I remember you said that.
Hey, not always, just sometimes. I don't appreciate all hate on the series.
Well, I can't imagine what else could be at E3 besides another Call of Duty reveal, which they've already kind of popped that cherry early with Advanced Warfighter's trailer.
I don't know if this was ever I don't know if it was ever even hinted at or confirmed. I'd like to see more information on Mirror's Edge.
Yeah, there are like a lot of loose talk about a sequel to Mirror's Edge debuting this week. I would love to see it. I thought Mirror's Edge was a very strong, very, you know, awesome title, but
oh, so did I.
Whatever reason, it came out during the beginning of like the system's lives and
yeah,
kind
true.
Of fizzled out. Was it before Assassin's Creed?
Yes, pretty sure it was. I could be wrong.
I'm pretty sure it was definitely before parkour was even popular in games.
Oh god, yeah.
But yet, that was the main mechanic of the entire adventure was parkour. Mm-hmm. As far as killing people and shooting controls were concerned, there wasn't really much of that, and what was there wasn't all that great.
No, and well, plus the controls got kind of bad when you were forced to stop running. When you were only running, the game was great. It's when the control, it's like towards like the latter half of the game where there was more gunplay involved that it became not very good, because you can tell like the controls are geared towards running and nothing else.
Yeah, well, towards the end, they start throwing these guys with guns in your face all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't avoid them. And you have to eventually start shooting some of them.
Right, the earlier stages where you had the option to be shooting, it's like the people with the guns were part of the puzzle. But in the later half, they were just there to add kind of like more action, and it didn't really fit.
Yeah, the title screen is always the thing I remember about that game because of the realistic city that you look at, and it just has like press start and a very minimalistic.
The realistic city. The realistic. I love some of the realistic cutscenes like in game, but then when it switched to like story sequences, it was all in like poor flash animation.
Yeah, it was old school like Flash version 5.
Yeah, it was not very good.
Yeah, that was kind of a disconnect. I mean, it didn't make any sense why that had to be.
No, it really didn't. It was pretty poor.
The main mechanic of running around the city and being able to parkour off of everything was awesome. And it did it in a first-person mode, which you would think would be, like, the worst way to do parkour.
Right, yeah.
But it worked out.
Well, I mean, some games, like, you see, like Metroid Prime, I mean, they proved that first-person platforming could work well.
So did Chronicles of Riddick, Escape from Butcher Bay,
yep,
which had moments
well.
Of platforming.
I mean, so there were games that showed like platforming in first person could really work, but it was those second latter half of the game that took you out of the platforming. And I mean, the first half of the game in a lot of ways was its own puzzle game, because you had to like wonder, where am I going to be running to next, and how can I get there without stopping, without taking my hand off the run button.
There was something really rewarding that happened. I mean, the game didn't give you an achievement for it or anything, but just something really rewarding when you actually got through a section without having to stop.
Right.
Figured out a way to constantly move.
There was something on a personal level, more rewarding about it.
I mean, you felt great afterwards. You felt like, you know, you've done like the best, you know, you've ever done in a video game.
Exactly.
But like I said, that's the only thing that spoils it is the latter half is all about guys with guns constantly stopping you.
Yeah, it really dragged it down.
And they give you a disarm technique, but it's not that great.
No, and the rest of the game was very fast-paced. It kind of, like, slowed it down to, like, a crawl. A very boring one.
And that was the main problem. It's like getting shot up so much. You know, you start having to reload more often, and it gets frustrating.
But it really dragged the game down.
It needed a sequel. I mean, I know EA didn't do the numbers they were expecting, and they kind of shelved it.
Yeah, but it was always being hinted at being worked on, but at least now we know it like really is, and it's getting closer and closer, eventually being released. I mean, it may not. I think probably within. I think they hopefully may show something, but it still might be a couple years away.
Yeah, but it became like a cult hit. You know, a lot of people ended up playing it later on, not necessarily initially.
Oh, right, right.
And it got popularity from there, but yeah, video game market is always so rough.
You can tell it was one of those games that people picked up when they had like spare money around, and then realizing later, why didn't I get this when it first came out?
Yeah, I bought it immediately when it came out. I was looking for something to do on the PS3 back when I only had the PS3, way back in 2006, 7, that area.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I bought it based on the cover. I thought the cover kind of looked cool.
Yeah, and after playing it, I just instantly fell in love with it.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
I thought there were going to be more games like it, but no. There wasn't.
No, I thought, I was hoping it was, after seeing that, I was hoping it was going to sell well because I thought it was amazing.
I mean, they always used it as a tech demo too early on to show what the new systems could do.
Right.
Because it was impressive for its time.
Oh, it really was. It was really impressive.
So I'm glad that's moving on. I don't know, anything else in E3 that you think might happen?
I don't know. I mean, I've kind of, I mean, I hate saying it, but I'm not really expecting much out of this E3.
Can we bet on Duke?
You mean a new story of another Duke sequel being canceled? Whether officially or not.
One thing I think we'll probably not see there is Doom 4.
No.
Id will not, like, do Doom 4 on E3.
No, definitely not. But yeah, no, I don't really have much, not much more I'm expecting.
Yeah, I think we talked about everything that could possibly happen that, you know, we would know about. If it's a new IP, on the other hand, of course, we'd be dumbfounded.
Yeah, I mean, this week's episode is more based on what we're hoping to see, not the stuff that's already been announced.
I mean, there are a lot of rumors out there about some RPGs circulating. I don't know if you heard of X yet, but...
Not offhand.
Well, definitely look it up. I think it's the successor to Xenogears.
Okay. Is it made by... I imagine it's being made by that company then, right?
I believe so. And more... It reminds me of Xenoblade Chronicles, the way it looks, oddly enough.
Okay, well, if it's being made by them, then it's obviously going to be a Nintendo game.
it's third person open world, you know.
Yeah. No, in that case, I imagine it's going to be a Nintendo game since they're owned by Nintendo now.
But yeah, definitely take a look at that. They might debut that.
Okay, no, I'll definitely check that out.
Other than that, there's not much else I can think of, honestly. I mean, I've been basically filling up my week playing Wolfenstein, which is, I mean, despite the PC technical flaws, which I'm sure anyone has already either encountered or read about.
Yeah, true.
The game is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
For what it is. I mean, the dual wielding of any weapon in the game possible is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the only thing I would say is not so great about it is, well, besides technical flaws, is the stealth action part. Because when you're crouched, for whatever reason, the enemies are really stupid, and they always turn their back on you.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes very easy to just knife most of them.
Yeah.
That's my only real complaint. Everything else about the game works really well, and the graphics are pretty beautiful. It's done on id Tech 5, same engine that powered Rage.
Oh, that's good.
And they even tried to give, you know, BJ a little storyline this time around about how the Nazis win World War II, they take over the world, and you're basically catatonic in an asylum for a while until you finally wake up and realize who you are.
Oh, nice. Cool.
Yeah, it's a fun game. I don't want to give away any more than that, but definitely check it out. I thought it was worth the money, and I don't usually say that very often, but at the $60 level, I think you will be entertained.
Okay.
It's also worthy to note that it has a skill system where you can, there's actually three skill trees that you can unlock by doing objectives or goals listed on those skill trees.
So if you want to
go the stealth route, you get, you know, better perks for that.
Yeah.
Or the explosive route, or the guns blazing dual wielding route. You know, there are tons of things to unlock.
Cool.
And there's even an Easter egg of the original Wolfenstein, Wolfenstein 3D, not the original, in the game.
What's that?
You play the first level, but your character has the modern graphics.
Nice.
And everyone else is the sprite-based, you know, like 1.5D.
Oh, that's awesome.
Or make that 2.5D thing. So, yeah, lots of fun. And the other thing I've been playing is Watch Dogs on Xbox One.
Yep.
It, you know, I mean, it honestly gets the meh award for me.
Oh,
this
really?
Year. It's not bad, but it doesn't do anything particularly well. Nothing to write home about. The hacking is kind of really lackluster.
Yeah.
It just constitutes holding the X button down.
your main mechanic is just, it's just a holding it down a button.
I mean, the driving controls are comparable, the shooting controls are comparable, the quests are kind of, you know, they're all right. But the storyline is terrible. I mean, it's just a complete joke.
Oh, good.
You play as a guy who basically, a corporation kills his niece in a freak accident. And his only way to cope with it is to, of course, murder everyone in his path and cause destruction and hack bank accounts because, you know, that's how he rolls. So once you realize that your main character is a sociopath who doesn't give a shit about life or death, you find the fact that he's doing this all for his dead niece kind of ridiculous.
So how much are you liking it so far?
Ultimately, like I said, it's all right. The driving controls aren't bad. The shooting controls are kind of silly. The reputation system it tries to implement is a complete joke. I've killed tons of civilians, and I swear they still think I'm all right.
you were killing the ones people didn't like.
Apparently so. Like, when I explode a hidden bomb on a bench and kill two people and nothing happens to my reputation, no one treats me differently, that's a flawed system.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, definitely.
I mean, my thing with Watch Dogs is if you can afford to wait, do so. it's a $30 game packaged at the $60 level.
Okay, so nothing that's that great. I mean, it's
I mean, there is a lot of gameplay to it, though. I mean, there's a lot of stuff to do, but, you know, it's like, for instance, Grand Theft Auto, its major competitor, obviously.
Yeah.
Like GTA 5, there is a lot to do in that game, too. Do you really want to sit there and do all of it? Probably not.
Not really.
But as far as next gen goes, there's really not much out there to compete with it. It was released at a great time. There are no other real big games like that. I mean, I think it'll do well solely on the fact of people being bored with their next gen consoles.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely overhyped. Definitely kind. Honestly, I can already think of at least 10 improvements they can do to make this series better if they want to continue it. If they, you know, continue it.
Yeah. And.
But it also plays very closely with Assassin's Creed in a lot of ways too.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Considering the developer, yeah. But yeah, it really does have that element to it as well.
No, that's not surprising. They want to make sure
that. I feel about it.
I mean, they want to make sure that everything they make is a franchise. And so.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it.
Like, I mean, they even admitted it. They're not going to make a game unless they can make it into a series.
A lot of people like to toss around the word new IP, but honestly, it uses a lot of old video game tropes to get its point across.
Yeah.
And I don't honestly think that it's pushing the medium forward. I think it's just kind of, you know, just getting by.
Yeah, it sounds like from like what you're telling me. I haven't played it myself, but that's exactly what it sounds like.
That's what it felt like to me, and I've been playing it for a couple hours, and just it hasn't quite, you know, hit me that, oh my god, this is awesome, and I should keep playing it. Not the way Wolfenstein hit me. It was almost
yeah. Well, I don't know about you, but I will pick it up, but, I mean, it's not something I'm, like, overly excited about, and, I mean, I'm not sure about you, but, I mean, I do kind of get the feeling that you're, like, you think it's, like you said, fun, but nothing that's, like, groundbreaking.
No, not at all. Not the way they've been kind of hyping it up to be. Like, it's gonna be this experience that blows your mind. It's not.
Yeah. And that's the feeling I get looking at it. I mean, it's not even... I think it was more overhyped by everyone else. I mean, even, like, the review sites are all kind of giving it, like, generally good reviews, but they're not... But they're all saying, like, you know, it was this overhyped mess. I mean, it's good, but it's not, like, the earth-shattering release that everyone was expecting.
Well, when it was first debuted... The graphics looked amazing, and then when we saw it last year, the graphics looked significantly worse.
Yeah.
And no one can understand how that happened. Obviously, the original demo was run without limitations to, you know, platforms or...
Yeah, exactly. And it was shown at the highest specs possible.
Yeah. So when they had to lock it down and actually put it on the next-gen hardware, yeah, I imagine everything suffered quite a bit.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what happened.
Not to mention, you dress like a hobo in the entire game.
Yeah, that's kind of what it looked like. But, yeah, maybe someday I'll pick it up, but I'm not, like, going out of my way to right now.
Now, the hacking really disappointed me. I was hoping for a minigame that would make sense, not just hold the X button to the meter fills and hold it again to the next meter fill. It kind of, it kind of left a bad taste in my mouth, because, like, when you tout that your game has a crazy hacking mechanic that's the focal point of the entire thing,
right,
and then you make it simplistic on top of it, it's like, okay, what are we doing here? Why is this map...
It's not what you were expecting.
No, not nearly, but it's, like I said, it's comparable. You'll enjoy it, but I don't think that it really is worth $60 at the moment.
Maybe when it comes down to price, I'll pick it up then.
I imagine that will be soon.
I can imagine that happening from what you're telling me.
Yeah, well, no game stays at the top very long these days,
Oh,
anyway,
they're
but.
always looking at what the next one coming out is.
Yeah, but I don't see this one be catching on like wildfire, not like the way they probably thought it would.
Yeah.
I mean, the story is just so terrible and the characters are so flat. So if you care about story and games, keep going.
All right. Awesome.
All right, well, I think that's all the time we have this week.
Yeah, I got nothing else. I got our E3 thoughts out. You talked about the games you've been playing here. I hopefully will next week have games to talk about myself that I've played. It's been kind of a, despite taking the last 2 weeks off, it's been a kind of a hectic schedule for me, so I haven't had much time to play. But
Yeah, of
we'll
course.
see if that changes in the next couple of weeks, in the next week.
I'm sure
I'm
it
sure. All right, well, for Gerald, I am Mike. Come visit us on our home online, pushing buttons. No, we're not pushing buttons. ShatteredSprites.com.
will. You're great. I didn't want to stop you.
No, I was really doing well there. Maybe next week I won't screw this up. Pushingbuttons.com, I don't believe is a website we own.
Yeah, not entirely anyway.
It's probably some fetish porn site.
And on that note, good night.
See you later.